everyone, and welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode 197. This is a show about all things Linux, whether it's hardware, software, whatever tickles our Linux fancy. And by us, I mean myself, Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Supercoop, and my good friend, Dork Dorky, a.k.a. Stephen McLaughlin. How's it going?
Pretty good. How about yourself, man?
Really good, actually. Gotten a lot of stuff done over the past couple weeks. Got some new tech in my life. I found a new podcast that I've blown through all the episodes. It's called The Mini PC Show. Have you heard of it?
Sounds like crap.
Yeah. Big talk, little machines. What a catchphrase. No, I had never listened to it before. I went through all 14 episodes over the last two or three days. I really, really do. Lots of good information. Really good discussion. And dare I say, it reminds me of an early Android App Addicts with the banter and camaraderie. So very, very good job on the show.
Thank you. It's the kind of show I really honestly, my goal is for me to learn as I do the show, because there's so much I don't know about, for instance, GPIO pins. There's so much I don't understand about watts, amps, volts. There's so much I don't understand about Linux firmware drivers kind of thing. And I think this show is going to make me learn at least a little bit more about all of that. I'm trying to hold out and find the, I hate using this term, ideal soldering setup, because I know I'm going to need a soldering gun, preferably one with a stand so I don't lay it down and catch the house on fire. Two, if it has automatic shutoff, that'd be even better. But also, because my hand is definitely not the most steady hand in the world, I'm also going to need helping hands. I might hack them together, but I also need a good magnifying glass. There's a lot of little things I think I should get before I just dive right into it. I'm looking at making a $9 chip computer Alexa Amazon appliance.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, not a lot of soldering, so that one might be easier to, you know, easier to do.
Yeah, I did some rudimentary, some really, really simple soldering. Back in, I think it was junior high. I was just reconnecting some wires on like a stereo board or something. But even then, it just like terrible. Lots of cool info coming out of that show. And yeah, I already have notes as far as what devices I want to buy, but kind of like you, something you said on a recent episode, I have to have a purpose for buying one of my games. I'm like, oh.
Well, you can, but then you're going to buy it, play with it, and then it's just going to sit there.
Right.
If you want to have fun with it, and really that's your only purpose, I can't say it clear enough. The Odroid C2, I think, is the device mm-hmm. to get that will allow you to not go crazy waiting for stuff. It's near desktop-like experience, but also cheap enough.
Yeah, it's like $42. I'm looking to get a mini PC for my dad to replace his awfully aging single-core Mac Mini. And I was going to try Ubuntu Mate on an Odroid C2, and I'll report back on the show.
Well, I'm sure they're going to fix it soon, but I've been saying that now for 3 weeks. I'm sure they're going to fix it any day now, but I've not been able to get any desktop browser to load on that distribution, even when I blank and start over. I've started over at least a dozen times, and both every time I do it, Chromium and Firefox might run once or twice, but then a day later will just stop working.
I think it might be a user error.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say with Diet Pie, nothing but love for Diet Pie. Runs like a champ. It's a distribution based, of course, on Debian, because Debian is everything that's good about Linux, in my opinion, where you can build it up, tear it down, have fun. Dare I say it's a hacker's distribution of Linux for the Pi devices.
Check that one out, too. Right before we kind of jump in, though, I do want to remind everyone, last episode, and of course, if you listen to the Mini PC Show, you have already heard this announcement, quite a few of us are going to be at Northwest Linux Fest, and that is coming up next weekend. April 23rd and 24th, and the night of the 22nd there, in Bellingham, Washington. For those of you who haven't been there, we were there last year. It was a blast. It's a really, 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 really good fest. Lots of good talks this year. The vendor area last year was, I would say, is even better than the 1 year I went to OLF. It was that big, comprehensive. All the people there were really nice. Good talks. But overall, you can tell, I think this is their 14th year, so having experience behind them definitely made last year a very, very smooth experience for us, and I can't wait to see this year. So if you're going to be in the area, or if you are already planning on going and you see us, and by us, I mean myself, Dor, Eric Ardini, of course, you know, from DiniMedia.com. You guys all know that website. He'll be there. And Martin Rambo Obando, of course, with his red headband and knife in his teeth, of course. And Chuck Litchfield, the certain friend of the shows, will be there. And am I forgetting? I think that's it, right? I think so. Yeah. Because we had to, well, I'll just call him out right now. Aaron Turnbull couldn't go because he didn't request the day
off. It's not calling him out. It's feeling...
Just like reminding him?
No, it is joining him in his sadness.
That just means it's more alcohol.
Well, I know, but if he could come with us, he could drink and forget about it. But then if he came with us, he wouldn't have to forget about it.
You don't need a job, man. Just you give him two fingers, you walk, get to step in. Caveman didn't pay bills. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah, sure.
So Dort, tell me all about Think Penguin.
Well, hopefully, also, that's somebody else we're going to see up there in Northwest Linux Fest.
Yeah.
Chris typically has a booth up there. And I will say right now is a great time to show them a little support. If you go, they have a little mini router still, I believe, on sale. If you go shop networking and modems, yeah, they still have the free software, approved wireless and mini VPN router. This little thing is really cool. And it's really a lot. I feel like you get a lot for the price. And if you would like to buy some stuff at Think Penguin, do not forget, email us, Linux for the Rest of Us, or podcast at Linux for the Rest of Us, and I will give you a coupon code. Coupon code is always good.
Yeah, I hope they have some of these. The mini one, and also the Libre CMC. I hope they have those there on hand. I remember they had some of their laptops, and I think even mini PCs. Yeah. Last year, so I'd be really interested because I got some projects. I'm pulling them off the back burner. I'm putting them in the forefront as soon as I get a couple of things done. But I want to start playing around with some of my router equipment that I have.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, and they're really good guys. If you go there and meet them, I guarantee you, Chris's cohort there will easily talk over your head. Safe to say, he's probably among the smartest people at the conference.
I remember last year, you just kind of stood there, kind of glazed-eyed, and kept saying,
Yeah, I mean, he was talking to me about customizing the BIOS for the Intel NUCs they have. And he was telling me all the things that he had to do, and I'm like, I understood the word hex, but not really much more. You know, he just was way too far over my head.
Yeah, Dor's eyes are already slightly magnified by his glasses, but he'd be looking at the guy as he's talking, he'd look at me, and his eyes would go wide as if to say, help me comprehend. Then he would look back.
No, all I really wanted to say was, I like beer. Do you like beer? Do you want a beer? Because maybe if I give him a beer or two, he'll slow down enough to where I could understand him. Yeah.
All right. So let's dip back into Northwest Linux Fest really quick. Just like 2 minutes. You want to make some predictions?
It's going to be a beautiful area, beautiful settings, beautiful surroundings, unbelievably nice people.
What kind of presence is Microsoft going to have?
Oh, I guarantee you they're going to be there trying to hug everybody. And if they even approach me, I'm going to knock them right out.
What kind of swag are they going to be giving me?
I'm sure it's going to be crap, complete crap, like a little penguin with a little Microsoft and a heart on it or something.
If they throw a private party like they did last year, are they going to have good beer this year?
Well, they didn't last year, if I remember.
No, they didn't. Their beer was garbage. The food spread was really good.
Yeah.
Professional caterer of finger food, amazing. But the problem is, by the time we got there, we'd already had that ridiculous seafood dinner, and we were basically up to our eyeballs in shrimp and swordfish.
Yeah, and everything tasted bad after that, because that was so good.
Right.
For like the next month, you know.
But man, the beer at the Microsoft, come on, fellas. You guys have some cash.
Well, and if I remember, the beer was warm.
No. No, it was terrible.
Or was it just the building was so hot, the beer turned warm in like 30 seconds?
That's possible. But no, yeah, not good beer. They had like some no-name IPA, some no-name amber ale, and some light beer. Nothing dark, no true Northwest beer. So check yourself, Microsoft, before you wreck yourself.
You tell me, it's up in that area of the woods where supposedly, you know, everyone up there knows beer. I mean,
dude, there's so many good breweries in Washington. If you're talking about Oregon, you know, you go with Schutz, you know, you get some Blackbeard, you get some Mirror Pond, you know, you got Widmer right there in Portland. They're known, you know, nationwide for their Hefeweizen. Red Hook is in Washington, I believe. Yeah, Red Hook. They make all sorts of good stuff. Yeah, just know your role, guys. If you're going to give away free beer, it might as well be good. Unless you're really trying to put a sour taste in our mouth, which I got to say, success. Congratulations.
Yeah, success.
So yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what, I know we're going to have a good time, period. Mm-hmm. And I know Martin O'Bander is going to be as giddy as a little girl because he supposedly had lunch with Brian Lunduke today, one-on-one lunch, which I'm sure the whole time he was tingly all over. And then
he won it in a raffle.
Was it that?
No.
No.
No, Brian moved recently to Hillsboro, Oregon, where Martin lives.
Right.
And they were talking about, Martin asked him about if he would get him, if he could pick up an autographed copy of Brian's new book, which I believe is Linux is Badass. Is that right?
I don't know.
I think so. Oh, yeah, you would. Anyway, but then Brian responded to say, well, why would I just give it to you there? We live in the same town now. And then Martin found out they were straight into a little.
I know, which he's, I guess he doesn't realize now he's going to get stalked.
Yeah.
Well, you know, whatever. And then, and I'm sure Martin and his son are.
Sorry, Geeksters fans.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sure Martin and his son's going to have a good time taking pictures with Lunduke. And I'm also sure, you want to, okay, ready for this? This is the easiest prediction ever. Standing room only in Lunduke's talk, and they're going to close the doors and stop people from coming in because everybody in the conference is going to try to get in.
But is he going to wear that same sport coat with the elbow patch?
How do I know? Because I didn't go to his talk.
Yes, you did. You were sitting in the front row with all of us. Yes, you were. I got photo.
I had to leave. I had to leave less than a minute and a half, 2 minutes into it because I was about to puke.
But so you were there then?
Yeah, but I had to walk out because the heat, because that room got so stuffy so quick. I felt myself getting sick.
Maybe it was just the.
What? I know he was just too cool. I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, it's too heavy. Other predictions. I have a feeling that Linode is going to do something special for me this year. I'm just throwing that out there. I have no idea. It's just random prediction. I'll tell you what I'm coming home with, though. SWAG swag.
Oh, well, yeah.
I might as well. That should, on my lower third right now, that should say Cody Swagmaster Cooper, because I get all the swag at all the events. You watch. Go ahead. Sorry.
And I was going to say, I do know you have this unnatural, like, directional sensor. Like, you know, some people have radar, guidar, chickar, you know, kind of thing. You have swagar. Like, swag. You just instinctively start to face a direction and walk, and you don't even know why, and then all of a sudden there's swag in front of you.
Last year when I got right in the front door, I just yelled out, swag! And I just ran over to the Ubuntu table. I also forgot to mention, our good friend Glenn is good.
Oh, yes. A friend I might shake his hands, but I don't want to get too close to him.
That's right. You don't get too close to him. There can be very dangerous consequences if you get too close to
him. Very, yes.
We'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Let's get it.
The first link I want to talk to, I first, before anything, have to say thank you to Charles. I think, Cody, I can't even remember anymore. I think I said on this show, I wanted to take a look at Mattermost. It might have been Android App Addicts, because people, typically younger people, will not shut their pie holes up about Slack, SLACK, being so cool, so great, chat messaging, blah, 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 blah. I brought it onto AAA maybe a year ago, before anyone even talked about it, okay? And when I loaded it up, the only thing that came to mind is, so it's IRC with curved edges. You know, that's all I saw it as. The guy behind Slack has admitted he's basically trying to modernize IRC and make it more user-friendly. But I don't want to use Slack, not open source. It can only be hosted on their server, I believe. But either way, it's not open. Don't want to touch it. So I saw this thing called Mattermost. And they basically made a open source version, quote-unquote, of Slack. So Mattermost is an open source replication, duplication of Slack, and all Slack is trying to be pretty beautiful chat IRC. But I didn't have time to set one up. And Charles in the IRC said he's a student, nothing to do right now. I said, well, do you want to do it? He's like, well, I don't know. And I said, well, you said your hard drive was slow in your computer in your laptop, and it was a spinning disk. I'll buy you an SSD. He said, oh, okay. Then like a day later, he was done. he got it done really quick. So right now we do have a Mattermost server up. Think of Mattermost. This is what I say to all the graybeards out there, the people like me. Almost like a modern BBS. Completely off the grid, aka it's not in, you cannot have it indexed by Google, not searchable by Google. Anything you type there stays there, kind of thing. It is an HTTPS connection using Let's Encrypt. Thank you, Charles. So anything you do there basically stays there. If anybody wants to get in on this, just shoot me an email, podcast@lunchwiththerestofus.com. I'll let anybody and everybody in. I don't know how long this server is going to be up. Right now, we're just testing it out, trying it out. In a couple weeks, I'm going to see how much it's going to cost me, because it's going to be based upon my usage, the VPN, the virtual VPS, the VPS that I'm using. So you got to wait and see. But if you want in, give me a holler. I'll let you in. Group chats, private chats, direct messages, silence notifications, enable notifications, Android, iOS, desktop, Windows client, wherever you want it, it can be there. Themable, skinnable, you can have bots. Right now I got my Raspberry Pi 2 here, sitting here nonstop running quietly. It's my bot for that server. So if I post things to an RSS feed, it'll automatically get posted in like the AAA chat. There's no better way to quote unquote annoy me is what I'll say. And that's what I'm saying. If everybody out there wants more shows more frequently, ask to be on this server and bug me, nag me, harass me, feel free to, and I will do everything I can to make more content.
Now, you invited me into this just a couple days ago, but I've only been using it through the mobile web interface. Is there a desktop client for this?
There's a installable Windows client. I'm honestly not sure about Linux, but if you just go to the web URL, you can access it from a full desktop web browser, and to be quite honest, looks really good in a full desktop browser. Works really good in a full desktop browser.
Yeah, just reading the link, and we'll have that link in the show notes. This is a project that came out of Y Combinator, which is, of course, kind of like a...
I don't know.
Entrepreneurial, like a think tank type of space. Like, basically, like, you've seen Silicon
Valley. Oh, yes, I have.
So, the company that they...
Peter Piper.
That's... What?
Peter Piper?
I've only seen one episode. I'm not
references.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, It's basically that, but on a bigger scale. And this came out of that a few years ago, and then it's since matured into Mattermost. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, even if it wasn't as privacy-centric as it is, I would think it'd be great. But the fact that they've gone to those lengths to take it, you know, off of web searchable means and all the different features that I'm just now reading about, but I haven't actually used yet. Very, very cool. So if you're looking for a nice, chat client, a nice collaboration tool. I mean, it's hitting a huge swath of needs here, just in one project.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure there is a direct correlation between age and acceptance of this platform. AKA, if you're 40 or older, the likelihood of you accepting this Mattermost as something that you use every day, I'm sure is much less. You're saying to yourself, what's wrong with IRC? IRC is just fine. And it is. It's perfectly acceptable, perfectly usable, works like a charm. You can install your own, blah, 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 blah. I like this because it has things like you can have integrated YouTube links. So when you put a YouTube video in, you can click it right there and watch it. On mobile and on tablet, everything I've ever tried with IRC sucks horrible. And I mean horrible. Does not work right. Does not work good. Does not look good. Does not act good. Does not react good. None of them act good. And I'm the guy who, yes, AAA, you can look for Android chat or Android IRC. You can look, and I guarantee a sub show 100, AKA 4 years ago, I've been trying them. This just looks better, acts better. I love at least the impression I give myself of, because it's on a server that I maintain and control and quote-unquote digitally own. I don't own the hardware. I own the virtual instance. I have more control over it. I'm more responsible for it. I'm not leaving everything about the entire security stack in somebody else's hands. I have some input into it.
Yeah. I can't wait to dive in a little bit more and get into it further, because we, as far as the collaboration side of it, you know, the sort of, you know, back end guys at Botnuts, you, myself included, you know, several people, we've tried a couple different solutions over the past few years. They just kind of, you know, die out as far as our interest in them, or they don't meet this need or that need, or et cetera. So, but this is going pretty strong so far. And I think the guy who set it up, or it was named Charles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I hope you're enjoying that SSD, fella.
No, no, he isn't. Cause then he, quickly, changed his mind and thinking, well, I'm going to probably get a new laptop from school here soon. Can I get a tablet instead? So now I'm trying to guide him to what is a good tablet, because there's so many crappy tablets out there. There's really none of them, as far as I'm concerned, are really good. But he's insisting he wants a tablet.
There are some excellent tablets out there. They're just all over $250.
Well, name one.
Name one?
Yeah, name one.
The Samsung 10-inchers are really nice.
But
here's the thing. What you see, okay, I'm just talking from a hardware standpoint, from a design standpoint, from a usability standpoint. That's one of the better ones on the market. But when you start seeing these mid-range, these low-end tablets for most of the market, it's all the same kind of revisionist garbage with, you know, their own special versions of Android that are very, very slow. Or, you know, it's a total hodgepodge of garbage. And we're only going to see more of, I'm almost happy that the mini PC market is taking off, because that means we're going to see less known companies focus on making garbage tablets. Right. So hopefully the cream will start to rise to the top. But honestly, I still use my HP touchpad. I have Android on that. I'm honestly thinking about just getting one of those $50 Kindles, just because I'm mainly just using it right now for ebook reading, maybe a little bit of web surfing here and there, but my phone is just fine. I personally don't really have a need for a tablet aside from ebooks.
Well, and that's the thing. Most people really don't. The thing I like about the bigger Samsung tablets, to be honest, is the stylus. I like the idea of, I'll sit there and be creative and draw stuff. But in reality, that's like thinking, oh, let me buy a treadmill, because I'll use it every day and I'll get better shape.
Right.
Neither will happen. So to me, it's really hard to make a tablet worthy, because I've owned every bit of 8 of them. And mm-hmm. the Shield tablet seems decent. A couple of the Zen tablets seem decent, but none of them have good enough specs to me.
The market is so saturated to the point now where each manufacturer, or each line within each manufacturer, is focusing on a niche. The Shield tablet is fantastic for gaming, and the specs are there for normal everyday use, but you're paying a premium for the NVIDIA name and the up specs for gaming, right? And you're paying a premium for Samsung just because of the name, Samsung. And then they throw in all their, you know, their features, you know, the fingerprint reader and the stylus and this special thing of TouchWiz and this fantastic display that we made and the RAM that we made in our own processor and this and that. Yeah, I'm gonna end talking about tablets by just saying I wish them the best of luck.
Exactly. To me, after the Remix Ultra I have, everything else is like kids' games. I feel like
you should,
you know, they're all playing the Wii, and I'm playing, you know, a real machine. You know,
you should have said tablet. Are you living in the past?
Well, yeah. The next link I have, it is to another Mattermost thing, and what this really is I want to show people, you don't have to get a VPS, you don't have to do all these crazy things to get a Mattermost server up, just to experience and see it and play with it if you want. You can install this fairly easily on 1404. It's well documented. All the code's right there. You just basically copy paste. And anyone who tells you not to copy paste from the web is like ignorant, because blanket statements are never applicable in this verse we live in. On a trusted domain, on a trusted site, on a trusted source, copy paste your heart away, okay? That's why it's there, folks. Now, if you just go into Google, type a random search, and then copy off a random site and paste, well, that's what I call natural selection.
Yep. Yeah, don't copy paste online. What? Why not?
Yeah. So, and this is really cool. And again, anybody wants to get in, just ping me. Just ping me. Do not hesitate. I will shoot anybody an invite. Right now we're up to, I think, 14 or 15 people. And there's no reason why we can't go above a couple hundred and see if we can test this puppy.
I think that what we're thinking we might use it for in a group/community sense at this moment is only scraping the surface of what we could do.
Oh, yeah.
And what we could use it for. So, yeah, if you guys are interested, you know, you can email dorapodcast.com or I'll just email Dora. Anything you email me, regardless, I'm just going to forward it to Dora. So take me, aka the middleman, out of that equation and just get a hold of him. He'll definitely send you an invite.
Yeah.
And we can see how far we can take.
Yeah. And to be honest, if you want to invite you and your friends, you can create a private group on my server and have your friends and do another project if you want, totally unrelated. Don't care. This is a community thing for everyone in the community, not just for podnuts.com.
I will say, before we sort of transition off of it, what I liked about it today, when I was at work on my breaks and when I was, you know, out and about on lunch, I could hop on, take a quick glance upward and sort of, you know, get caught up on the conversations that were happening and then throw my two cents in and then just jump out. And then I set up notifications to get emails notifications whenever I'm mentioned in that chat. And that way I can, at my leisure, go back and see if I was replied to or mentioned or whatever. So yeah, it was very, very nice.
Yeah, and there is a way, and I'm toying with the idea of this, but it's kind of self-defeating. It's like convincing the snake to eat its own tail. There is a way I can, in the mattermost instance, have a channel devoted and have that channel literally be the true freenode.com IRC chat, which is really confusing, and I'm not sure if I want to do that, but it's possible, so... More feedback I get about what to do in this is the better. So if you want some input, just don't hesitate.
All right.
Okay.
Now this next one. Whoa.
Okay. This next one, I'm not going to, again, I hate saying this. I have not had time to look at this, but dang, this was an email and I can't remember who, and I am literally embarrassed that I cannot remember because it makes me mad.
I'm going to make you find out who sent this to us and we will thank them on next show. This looks so awesome.
William.
And I've been delving into a lot of these, you know, type of things lately. So by all means, please.
This is not a short email, Cody. And I'm typing right now because I love you. And I'm hitting send. And right there.
Okay.
Now, the bottom stuff we have to keep to ourselves because he has his own stuff and I don't want to play with it. William, long time Podnuts guy, sent me this. And I'm sitting there, sitting there saying, "What are you talking about?" Because he first mentioned it like nonchalantly. The hell are you talking? I don't even know what you're talking about, dude. So he literally sent me a very long description about what it is, why it is, how it is. And if anybody knows anything about me, I didn't read any of it because it's hard. It's hard for me to sit down and focus and read anything long.
Well, why don't we introduce what it is first? I mean, there's just that little blurb you can read in the introduction on the webpage, and then I'll read the emails. So that way they have some context.
Yeah. Demon Saul is a secure and an anonymous information sharing application that makes security simple and gives you back control of your data. You can chat, message, and share files without fear of consequence. And that right there, I think, is the utter gist of it. Anonymous, yep. Chat, communications, and file sharing. So it's like Napster, but anonymous. And I can't believe I just made that reference. I'm very sorry, everyone under the age of, like, 30.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and get into this email. And this is from... Am I okay to say his name?
First name, yeah, sure.
Yeah. William. Okay. So thank you, William, for sending this. So he says, "Hey, Dor. First, I apologize if this email is long. It's too long for Dor."
Well, I know, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to convert it to audio so I can just listen to it.
Oh, sure. Well, or you could just play this back because I'm going to read it to you right now.
Yeah, but I'm not paying it. Okay, yeah, sure. Good.
Whatever. All right. "I've been having thoughts about this stuff for a while. I figured I would get this info out to you. For a while, I have thought about how the podcast community could have a community share. My first thought was maybe you and the other hosts could have a BT sync or sync thing share, writable by you guys and read only to other people invited or the public at large. Access to the share could have been a Patreon reward or freely given. Things hosted could have been early access to show notes or links, giving listeners a peek into the brainstorm that goes on to setting up the topic of your show. Then, after seeing Demon Saw on Hack5 and reading other articles on it, I grew to appreciate its offer. I don't know how familiar you are with it, so I apologize if I'm trying to impart my knowledge on it. It offers completely secure chat room, private messaging, file sharing, and a search function for the files shared. It does this by having a software router that can exist anywhere. I put mine on a DigitalOcean VPS. All traffic goes through this router, so having a fast connection is a must. However, even if authorities or any man in the middle were sniffing the router, the data that flows through it is heavily encrypted. The router receives and hands out the data, so a connection is never made to another person's IP address. The most a man in the middle could see is that this IP sent this other IP encrypted data. But from a client end and normal use, clients are anonymous to each other unless they use known usernames in the client. So once connected, you can see others who have simply connected to the router. At this point, there is already a base level of encryption and privacy. You can go much deeper with privacy, though. Groups. Using groups, you can use a URL for a file or for a key file. I use a statically linked image URL. Then you select what percentage of entropy, the encryption type, hash type, salt, and number of iterations to run through. So not only would someone have the time to, have the exact same key file or image, but all exact configuration would have to match. Brute forcing simply isn't going to be happening anytime soon. When you connect to a group, you are still on the same router. However, you are on a secret hub, secret sub-channel that only others with the exact same matching information can see you. You can have multiple profiles, such as be a door-to-door geek on the main router chat and share some show notes or innocent files. Then you can have a secondary profile named Leet the Hacker or whatever on that same router, but connected to the secure group and share the super secret plans to make Knight Riders get a reality with other people down with the cause. Man, would that be awesome? We should get some used car lots up when we go to Washington Door, see if we can find a Pontiac, and we'll put like a Odroid CTU in it. I'm not that great. Okay, back to the email. You can have as many secure groups as you want and share different things with different people. Whatever info you give to someone when they connect to that group, that's all they will see. Demon Saw is still going through growing pains. Some problems include slow transfer. I should have been transferring at 1 megs per second upload, but I was only transferring at 300k, for example. As far as I can tell, it doesn't resume gracefully. A bunch of times I used it, it restarted a download from the beginning. I got the file, but it was still an annoyance. Also, chat doesn't persist. If you close the app without checking, it'll be lost, kind of like IRC without logs. Also, so far as I can tell, it is fully peer-to-peer through the router. I don't think if two people have the same file, it can be downloaded from both to speed things up, although I may be wrong. Anyway, sorry for the super long email, especially if this isn't something you're interested in. And that's basically the end of the email. So thank you very much, William, for bringing this up. And I'm glad I was able to read that to Dor so he could actually consume that content. Yeah, definitely looks like a very, very awesome project. And this, and looking at the interface, this reminds me of a lot of, like you said, Napster. I recently watched the documentary Dark Web. Have you heard of that, Dor?
I believe I've heard of it, yes.
Yeah, it was directed by Alex Winter. He played
Grandpa Munster?
He was Bill. No, wait.
Bill and Ted?
No. Yeah.
Oh, Keanu Reeves.
No, it's Alex Winter. Okay. Anyway, fantastic documentary. And he actually was on a documentary on Napster. But by listening to interviews from him, and it was sort of like my youth was watching over, because they were talking about Napster and Kazaa and Scour and all those file sharing services. And they just put me right in front of this huge, awful Dell CRT monitor I had. I was just watching that. I wasn't actually downloading stuff. Wait. But yeah, very, very, very cool. And then this is a secure version of that, kind of. But yeah, I can definitely see the application for this, not only at any time in history, but especially now.
Yeah. I'll say, even in the video, it says it's a release candidate version. So it's nowhere close to final form, is what I keep telling. That's the way I term it to myself. But this looks unbelievably cool and promising. If you thrive on, if you value, if you appreciate complete anonymity and privacy, this might be the way to go. But I will say, it sounds almost like Tor-ish, and the vulnerable point will be the router. So let's hopefully we'll hear really good security professionals evaluate this and give us their honest opinion on it. Now, one thing that is very nice, now you're going to start to see this more and more and more and more and more and more with a lot of projects moving forward. If you go to demonsaw.com, scroll all the way down, Cody, you see a box, and there's text inside that box. Yeah. Can you read that box to me?
Certainly. So on the main page, there's a box down at the very bottom. And I already read this earlier, and I really like and respect this. So in the box, dated March 25th, 2016, Demonsaw hasn't received any national security letters or any orders under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Demonsaw doesn't have any knowledge of any search orders that have been issued or carried out. Watch carefully for the removal of this notice or the failure to update on a monthly basis. So that's a fantastic way of going about kind of doing the wink wink, because if that goes away, then you know that there was some sort of an inquiry made.
Well, yeah, because it's against the rules of engagement when you get one of these. You cannot mention it to anybody without fear of imprisonment and fines. So
yeah, it's basically like a really scary NDA.
Right. It's a hush hush thing. But so the genius thing is now sites are starting to do the opposite. They're saying, okay, well, right now I have had no request. So basically, if you just go to the website about every month, towards the end of every month, you should see that updated. And if you don't see it updated or you see that box taken off the website, then you know for a fact they did get a request. Now, this attempts to answer one of my biggest fears about trusting software companies based in the United States. There was a long period of time where part of me, at least underneath, trusted companies outside the U.S. a little bit more, which is complete opposite of how my logic should be, I think. But it's because a U.S. company can be given one of these and that it can say hand over data, hand over the ability to access data, or hand over anything, and you can't talk about it. So it was hard for me to trust American companies outright from beginning to end. And of course, I trust plenty of them every day. But there was always that little thing in the back of my head saying, well, maybe they did get the request. Maybe they have been compromised. Maybe there is government agents in it right now. So seeing this kind of thing gives me at least a little bit more of an indicator of who at this point in time is more trustworthy. I'm going to say it right now, before September or October, that update is going to either stop happening or that box is going to be off the website.
Why do you say around that time of year?
Because they're still an RC candidate. They're not, once they come out and be, if they become a little bit popular and the wrong politician or person connected to a politician figures this out, sees this, learns about this, you know, not good.
Yeah, I can see that. Go ahead.
But I also love that right on the very top, these are the kinds of web page artifacts I really do appreciate. At the very top, on the right-hand side, full desktop browser, they just have icons up at the top to let you know you can download this for Windows, Mac, Ubuntu, Debian, Raspbian, Android, or Heart, which of course is not a download. I'm sure it's a donate, you know, or it's a share thing. So you can get this on your Pi, you can get this on your Android device, you can get this on your Mac, whatever, and voila, away you go.
The Android client is actually launching this month. It's not available yet, but it says coming April 2016.
Good, good, good.
Wow. I hope that's available. That would be awesome if it was up by the time we went to Northwest Linux Fest. That way we could play with it, you know, on the run.
Well, and one of the gimmicks is they're going to have to make sure the interface and the initial setup is very user-friendly, or they will have very minimal increase in users over time.
Oh, of course. Well, I'm looking at some of the screenshots. It looks, I'm just going to be brutally honest here. It doesn't look ugly. I would say that from a quick glance, it looks like a Windows 95 panel, right? But then you actually get into it, you realize, oh no, this is a little more organized. It's not quite as clunky. But honestly, when it comes to something like this, I personally care less about aesthetics. I'm all about function. And if it's going to function correctly, and I'm just going to the straight up grayscale one, but there's also, I see you can customize this to make it black background and have white text. Yeah, this is pretty neat.
You could have Ken or Ryu in the background if you wanted. I'm sure it's completely themable. But if you watch the video, I will say it's a little bit intimidating in all of the features, all of the functions, all of the choices you have when it comes to what type of in encryption you use or have, and what kind of hash you use. They need to remember what made TrueCrypt popular was not the security in it. What made TrueCrypt popular was the simplicity of the user interface. Users could just click a couple buttons and they could make a they could encrypt their entire hard drive, even if they had no idea what AES meant or any of the numbers. So they need to definitely have a easy mode or a stupid mode or a wizard mode to this interface, or else people.
I could see having like a easy mode or slash guided, mode, and then an advanced, But at the same time, I mean, something like TrueCrypt, yeah, everybody, in my opinion, should be using that in one form or another, encrypting your data. And that does absolutely need to be simple. This is more of it's like a Swiss Army knife of encrypted and private communication. It seems like there's a lot of applications for it. And if you're going to scratch your own itch, you got to know how to scratch. So while I would hope that something like this would be widely adopted and used, I don't necessarily believe. I would rather people rise up to the occasion or put a little bit of brain power into securing their data rather than the entire project, in this case, going down to lowest common denominator and meeting the needs of everybody through simplicity. Okay, looks like Door popped out for just a second. Everybody's back, I believe. Door, are you back?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. I was saying, well, folks already heard this, but I would rather have people put a little bit of brain power into using something like this rather than having the entire project potentially compromised by dumbing it down and making it too simple, in my opinion.
Well, yes, but you also got to remember, it has what plants want.
It does, electrolytes, yes.
Electrolytes. Okay, I'm going to insert this next article in. Okay, we don't have enough time to really talk about all the things that have happened throughout the last couple of weeks. This one just hit today that I saw, and this, we've been talking about privacy at least a little bit here, authentication, privacy, security, anonymity. Yeah, you know what I mean. That kind of stuff.
And anonymity.
Thank you very much. And this one caught my eye. Now, I will say it's on PC World. Don't know how truthful, don't know how accurate, don't know how much anything in this article is. But my bias, my confirmation bias, if you will, tells me that there is some truth in this article, and it's about a Russian computer guy. It is the name of the article is "Your Face is Big Data." The title of this photographer's experiment says it all. Basically, what he did was he was on his daily commute every day, sitting on a train, and every day he would pull out his phone and basically hold up his phone, I'm sure not obviously, but taking pictures across the aisle of people's faces, and then using this service called Find Face, which is a facial recognition app. And he said it was very easy to identify between 60% and 70% of the subjects between 18 and 35. He also found older people were more difficult, to which I will say, obviously, I hate to say this, Cody. I really hate to say this because I really do sound like that crazy old guy at the end of the block sitting on the porch with no shirt on, screaming at kids. And
one sock. Don't forget one sock.
Yeah, with one sock, and everyone just thinks is an idiot. But I'm going to say it anyway. The whole selfie movement is nothing more than pouring with a huge bucket big data images into reserves. And from what I'm finding out from my own literal experience in work, not always government buckets either. It's typically private companies that are really aggregating all this data. And facial identification is worth a lot of money. The ability for a company, a agency, or a country to be able to connect in through somebody's API, send them a picture, and get back information, oh man, that's really worth a hell of a lot of money. So this does not shock me. So everyone out there taking selfies, everyone posting their pictures to all social media stuff, everyone who's letting themselves be tagged in selfies and up-close pictures, this is what happens when other people have access to that data. And when we say other people, I mean the services that you use. Because do not forget, there is no such thing as a cloud. There's only somebody else's computer. Okay,
And there's no such thing as a free product either.
Well, if you're not paying money, you are the product.
You are the product, yeah.
Period. That is true. Period. Bar none. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no could-bes. Well, no gray areas, no. You are being sold. Your information is being sold, period. That's why when people hinted years ago saying, oh man, Facebook's going to start charging you money every year. I said, well, if they do, then I might trust them. But until then, no. Right. So, yeah, I'll just say, you know, this isn't good. This isn't good at all. There's another article I'm going to look for when I get a second to put in the notes. It was Intel and AMD. Okay, this is a driver thing. The one thing I remember, there was the quote-unquote secure phone, black phone, that was supposed to come out for the longest time. Okay, well, one of the gimmicks with that phone was it was supposed to be 100% secure, yada, 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 yada. And I remember, to be honest, somebody in the FSF, who I don't always listen to, but they said something that caught my ear. And that was, any device with any binary blobs on it is mystical, magical black boxes that you do not know what they're doing. Okay. There was an article on Reddit here. I'm going to put it in the notes for you too, Cody. As soon as I come here, I come down and I click paste. Put the link right there. It's to a Reddit article, at least right now. And then when you click there...
What's Reddit?
I know. It says, Intel and AMD systems have had remote backdoors with unrestricted access for years. These subsystems run proprietary binaries by the manufacturer and can even be updated remotely. This literally might be nothing more than Greybeard, a Unabomber type guy just freaking out, blah, 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 blah. But I'm going to tell you this right now. There is firmware baked into chips that we as users have no control over. This is why Stallman, and yes, I'm actually going to defend Stallman. This is why Stallman back in the day insisted on having a laptop where he basically knew where all the chips were sourced from. Because what you put on the hard drive is only one aspect of the interactions going on that computer. Every chip on that computer has baked in firmware that does something that you do not know what it does. So it could be in those chips, or it could just be in the kernel drivers that are on everyone's OS's, whether it be Android, whether it be iOS, whether it be Mac, whether it be Windows, whether it be Linux, whether it be BSD, whether it be Haiku, whether it be anything, whether it be PS4, whether it be Xbox 360 or Xbox One, whatever. These things could be in there, and there is nothing we could know about or do about these except don't use the devices. And I really don't want to be the paranoid schizophrenic thing. I'm pretty sure there is some brevity and accuracy in this, period. Which is why that black phone, every single Android video driver, period, is a closed source binary. Okay, every single phone, every single tablet has closed source proprietary binary video drivers. Why is that? Well, it's because all of the processor binaries are not, because it's ARM processors. And this was one of the things, this is why the black phone said, well, we can't do Android. They were literally in production, and they finally stopped and said, wait, we can't do Android. This is why, because they knew every single graphics driver had bits in it that they didn't know.
Too many potential points of failure.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say, this is going to be in the notes. It was posted Monday, April 4th at mail@fsfeurope.org. Take from it whatever you will. Believe from it whatever you will. I'll just say, with Occam's razor type of logic, what's more plausible? That the governments and companies don't care, don't know, don't even know how to do these kind of backdoors, or they've been in with these companies for years and they just do it? I mean, in this world, this day, this age, I think both are actually possible.
Yeah, I think that we'll definitely have more revelations in regards to these things. It's just going to be scarier and scarier. But shouldn't hunker down with fear and just act as safe as you can. Know your options, do your research, figure out what's important to you. And, like, okay, I got an argument with some members of my wife's family on Thanksgiving. And subsequently, I don't think I invited back.
Oh, welcome to my world.
Yeah. but it was let's say without being too direct, a lot of them share the same political views that are somewhat but not necessarily in line with mine, and they were just trying to, you know, they're using buzzwords and, you know, non-formulated opinions to speak about this matter, and I just kind of threw the gauntlet down and said, it's not about what you feel you need to hide, it's about what you want to protect. And they're like, no, that's not it. It's about you have something to hide. And I said, is that what you really think? I said, yeah. So I went up to this one prominent member of my wife's family. I said, okay, give me your phone. He said, what? Give me your phone. And he goes, well, no. I said, well, you don't have anything to hide, right? And he goes, well, why do you want my phone? I go, it doesn't matter. Just give it to me. And he wouldn't do it. And I said, I don't think you have anything on there you'd want to hide, but with me, you know, doing just a little bit of stuff, you could probably get in your bank account. I definitely get your email. I could reset your password. I could destroy the phone. I could just smash it over a table. Like, I could bash it on this corner. So don't think about what people want to hide. Think about what you want to protect. If someone came into my house, broke down the front door, if I put my son in a closet, I'm not hiding him. I'm protecting him. Just know your options.
Yeah, and that's like the same, my same belief, actually, about guns. I don't have guns. I don't want to own guns. But it's not about me, number one. This is about everybody in the country. And I think people should be able to own guns. Why? Because there's plenty of responsible people I know out there that I know, if worst came to worst, they would help even protect me. You know, so yeah. People don't get it.
No, you're right.
I don't think people will get it. I don't know if it's possible for everyone to get it. I took a couple links out of the notes already, Cody. I did want to mention at least like one or two of the more of these.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know which one.
That's fine. We'll
get on. I still got it down at the bottom.
I wanted to talk about the Microsoft thing.
Oh yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I was gonna say I don't know what else to say about it except native bash, Ubuntu bash, and I don't know how one of that. And that's one thing that confuses me. Canonical is working with Microsoft to have native bash on Windows, and I just keep repeating the same thing in my head that I said the last show, I believe, which is, of course, Microsoft is going to get behind Linux. It makes it much easier for them to stab in the back. And I'm personally very vexed, I will say that. I'm not going to use Windows, period. And it has nothing to do about price. It has nothing to do about the company up in America, up in the Great North. West has nothing to do about supporting America, supporting an American company. It just has to do with trust, knowledge, power, and control. I like being able to control my operating systems, and I have the most ability to control my operating systems when it comes to Linux, not Windows. I understand why people use Windows. I understand why companies use Windows. I understand why countries use Windows. I'm not saying there's no reason. Of course there's a reason. At work, I'm very vexed. Part of me now says, okay, we should push everyone up to Windows 10 as quick as possible because now we can have genuine DevOps tool chains and workflows connected to our environment and actually have the ability to automatically or semi-automatically publish changes from environment to environment without having to wait sometimes weeks and without having to worry about human error. But if anybody can screw up a bash shell that's been solid working for 20 plus years, it's Microsoft. I'm sure about that.
Well, did you hear what happens when you try to kill the machine? But
yeah, it won't let you.
Well, no, it does. All it does is just kill the bash. It doesn't actually hurt Windows. So.
Yeah, I just know that I don't think it's going to end well, quote unquote, for either one of them. I don't think this is going to be a positive thing for Microsoft in 3, 5, or 10 years, because I think it's going to erode at the core of Linux. From the Mattermost chat, PowerShell sucks. PowerShell's incompetent. PowerShell took almost 80% of its commands from the bash shell for a reason, because the Windows PowerShell sucks. I firmly expect PowerShell is going to start to be deprecated in the next version, and 2 versions is going to be even more deprecated in favor of a fully qualified, fully operational, real command window. Because PowerShell ain't it. To get anything done in PowerShell takes 10 times the code that it should take. And I know this because I've had to create PowerShell scripts for work. to take down VMs, to put up VMs, spawn VMs, clone VMs. And PowerShell sucks. It's horrible. It is really a horrible, horrible interface. And Bash is very, very quickly going to eat its lunch.
It's too bad we couldn't have Russ the Beast Winner on top of PowerShell, because he's a power fan.
Well, he...
Or at least he was last time I talked to him. That was
years ago. He is, because he has to be. That's what they use right. in his job. But I guarantee you, in 2 years, they're not. Period. Because where he works, they are very cutting edge. They ain't waiting around. Trust me, they're mostly on Windows 10 already. And when Server 2016 comes out, they're going to be on Docker hard in about 8 months, because his company does not play around. They don't slack. Slack. And I did actually talk to him today the first time in a couple weeks.
Oh, really? Oh,
wow. And he thought it was fantastic, but confusing, that I was talking to him on Voxer, but my talking to him on Voxer was interrupting him listening to me on a podcast. And he said, and I was really confused. In the middle of a podcast, he started talking to me. He is the man. He is the man that I don't care what he says. If anybody says he's wrong, I will get mad at you. Russ is the most stand-up-ish guy. And I'm looking forward. I'm trying to get up to FalseCon in Philadelphia in August. It's like a day-long event. It's not a long event. It's literally a day event. And I'm trying to get up there. Chad Wallenberg says he thinks he might be able to make it. Nick from IRC, the last known god, lives right up by there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Should be easy for him. Or let me rephrase that. He does not live up by there. His family lives up by there. Russ isn't far from there. Daniel Fry from Tilts, and used to be from Mythcast. He lives right up by there, too. So it really should be a very good event. And last year, we got to watch Eric Raymond fall flat on his face. It was an experience, I'll say that.
But did you guys have any chowder?
Thankfully, no, because... Actually, no. The chowder in Philly would have probably been better than the chowder up in...
Yeah. Two things I'll never forget about that Nell trip. One, that waiter going off on us in total just Boston aggressive, angry style about the difference between white chowder.
Oh, yeah, man. I remember that.
It was a moment in time that just happened, and afterward, you're just like, I'm glad I was witness to
that. We should have taken a selfie with them, then we would never forgot it.
Yeah, though, we could have our faces on big data. But the other, and I'll make this quick, was when, after we were done drinking, Russ and I stumbled over to Five Guys Burger and Fries. And he just kept saying, Cody, what am I going to do with all these fries?
Mm-hmm.
I said, just put them in a bag, Russ. Put them in your coat pockets. And he's stuffing just fries into his pocket. it wasn't fries. It was fries and peanuts.
Yeah.
He's stuffing these peanuts. And he looks at me after he gets done with his burger. He has a little bit of, you know, whatever in the corner of each corner of his mouth. He goes, Cody, let's go be drunk somewhere else.
Yep. And like 2 minutes later, I found you guys, and I was mad that I missed out on that. But he also said, Dor, if you haven't heard of it yet, you have to experience Five Guys. Super serious. Dead serious. I was like, oh, Russ, I know about Five Guys. He says, the fries. Yes.
It's an obscene amount of fries. It's almost like, oh, you think that's good enough fries? Yeah. Okay, we're going to give you three times this amount. Take this back, get the hell out of here.
It is not almost obscene. It is obscene.
It is
obscene. Okay, this next link, I believe, is in relation to a link I brought a couple episodes ago that I could not get working, which was a command line torrent search/play tool. Now, this is a fully GUI version of this, it looks like, called WebTorrent Desktop. It is a simple open source BitTorrent client that it can let you stream torrents available on Linux, Windows, and Mac. The application comes with a very basic user interface, which allows dropping a torrent file or pasting a magnet link in to start streaming it. So this does not have a search routine built into it. You got to use your favorite torrent site of the day, whatever. Find a torrent from a movie that you like, and you basically drag and drop it into the interface. Now, I'm sure it's going to have to cache at least some. Depending on your bandwidth, is directly dependent on how much it needs to cache first. I have 150 up and down. I'm sure a minute or two of caching at the most, and I can hit play and I can start watching a movie. DCMA, be damned.
DMCA.
DMCA, whatever, be damned.
Yep.
Federal agents, I don't care, come to my door. I'm watching what I want to watch when I want to watch because I pay enough money into these things that whatever I'm watching, I already at least paid for once, and I should be able to watch again because I already paid for it, period. And my kids will be watching things instead of watching DVDs and to be protecting them for longevity. So we do own copies of it, so I don't care.
Man, when you talk about, I think I was kind of a, well, I want to say you're contagious, and I'm a curmudgeon by proxy. I was one of the very last people that I know of to actually try Google Play Music instead of just keeping all the files locally on my device.
Yeah.
And I've always liked, you know, physical versus digital in most cases. I'm going mostly digital with most of my stuff now, but my wife and I, ever since we've been together, we have been amassing this huge DVD collection to the point where we put these 4 12-foot-long shelves on a wall in the living room to kind of display the collection. And when I say display, I don't mean we're turning them out, you know, to face the whoever's looking at it. I mean, it was spine all every single shelf. And we were just looking at it a few months ago going, look at all the money up there. Mm-hmm. And we haven't touched them. So we just started selling them by the handful, you know, just getting rid of them. Not even taking the time to digitize them because they're like, oh, it would be cool to have this. Oh, that's on Netflix and Hulu. Okay, get rid of it. This. Oh, it's on Amazon. Okay, yeah, just get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this leans back on the old argument that Monty Python, okay, again, nobody out there believe a word I say, okay? Anything I've said this show, don't believe any of it. Go research it yourself. Monty Python was one of the first establishments. And what I mean is someone deep in entertainment said out loud, why don't we give it away for free and then put up a thing where they can buy it? Okay, they put up everything they ever owned as a company on YouTube for free. Now, it wasn't back when YouTube had 4K.
Yeah, it was low quality, sure, but it was still everything they'd ever done.
It was everything they ever had with no extra work put into it. And then they said, now let's put in the work and we'll make higher quality versions of it and then we'll sell them. They had their highest grossing year as a company versus inflation in their history. Okay. Napster, crazy, crazy popular. When it's convenient for people to spend money, they will. When it's difficult to spend money and buy something, they will just pirate it. Period. That is reality. That is truth. That is human nature, dare I say. Google Play and YouTube Red, I'm in it. I got the family plan. I got my kid on it. I got my wife on it. I got my sister-in-law on it. I have a coworker on it. They all love it.
I haven't done the paid subscriptions, and I still haven't done YouTube Red, but just after hearing you talk about how furious you get when you see a YouTube advertisement, now, of course, by proxy, because you're contagious, I get furious. Well,
don't worry.
Whenever I see, but I'm not even paying for it.
Well, don't worry. I'll send you an invitation here soon, and you'll have it. Don't worry. Because it's awesome. I'm also tempted to
I need those 15 and 30 second chunks of my life back.
I know. And I am tempted to also do the Google Collaborate, Google Contribute, where you can pay up to $10 a month and see less ads on the internet. I am tempted to do that one, but let's baby step this. I have no problem paying someone for convenience. I have no problem paying someone for data. I have no problem paying someone for information, especially when the interface I use to access that is among the best interfaces for what I'm doing, period. Convenience, you'll get my money every time, period. But yeah, if you want to run web torrents, streaming, desktop, Windows, Mac, Linux, just go to GitHub and search for webtorrent-desktop. There you go.
Oh, and real quick, kind of loop it back around real quick. Alex Winter, the guy I spoke about earlier, he did play Bill S. Preston Esquire. That's how I remembered it, the way they introduced themselves in the movie. But Deep Web, or excuse me, Dark Web. Anyway, just search for it. Anyway, go on YouTube. You don't have to be a YouTube web subscriber. If you search for Deep Web, you'll see that documentary, but he also did a documentary on Napster called Downloaded. And one of the big points, and I've heard this seen multiple times over the years, is that, look, people are going to get the content regardless. They're going to get it how they want to get it, so they can consume it how they want to consume it, when they want to consume it. So the industry needs to bend to that need, bend to that niche, and provide them with that at an affordable cost, with something that's easy. Otherwise, they're going to go away. That's why the music industry took such a huge hit. That's why you're seeing a lot of physical media just go away, because of now you're seeing these services come up and be more convenient and affordable. For instance, my wife was arguing with me the other day. She goes, we just need to get cable again because we're paying way more for all these video streaming services than we ever did for cable. I said, no, 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 no. And then I laid it out for her. She goes, oh, I thought they were paying much more. And I said, you just want to watch Dancing with the Stars when it airs, don't you? She goes, shut up.
Okay, I'm going to guess what it is. It's called a anonymous documentary, Inside the Dark Web documentary, 2015 from YouTube. BBC looks like the publisher. It's 1 hour 5 minutes. I'm going to guess. Either way, though, there will be a link to it in the notes because it's hard sometimes to find this stuff with a generic name like that on YouTube. Yeah, I just put a link to the notes to the one that I found that I think it might be. I could be mistaken. Okay.
It is Deep Web. Yeah, Deep Web. Yeah, there you go.
This one's Dark Web.
Search for Deep Web documentary. You can also search for Napster documentary or downloaded documentary. You'll find it.
Deep Web from $3.99.
Oh, they may have taken the whole thing off here. I watched it a couple weeks back. It might have been a limited time.
Gotcha.
But yeah, $4, dude.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, let's see.
What else. Oh, this was a Epix production. Epix is...
Yeah, it was Epix. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about, you know, services coming up, delivering content to people. Epix is getting really big now. Not just good documentaries, but series, films, and especially comedy specials. You're talking about, you know, back in the day, you would see this kind of edgy or controversial content pretty much exclusively on HBO. I mean, you're talking, you know, dawn of the internet, pre-internet. You know, you look back, you know, all the comedy specials, you know, like the Dangerfield stuff and like Real Sex and all those good comedy series from like the late 80s, early 90s. It was all usually HBO or Showtime. And now you're seeing, I mean, obviously Netflix completely ran with all of their friends, but you're seeing these other ones pop up too, and Epix as well.
Very cool, very cool. Just a couple more links and we're going to end the show. This next one, yep. I'm a firm believer in this show throughout its whole history. I've always tried to preach things that can make you money. Learn Linux, go to edX, go to these other sources, learn Linux. Well, I do believe if you learn really good with open source tools, most of that knowledge will translate if you get a job doing that same thing, even if they're using closed source tools. And the tool I want to bring right now, it is called Rational Plan. You can download this. You can install this locally. This is project management software. Now, I will say this. Okay. It's like a fan. It's like a water spraying. You have the source where there's one little area, and then it just gets wider and wider and wider. Over time, technical titles, technical jobs, technical descriptions of jobs keep broadening, 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 and every year there's more jobs out there. Every year there are people who are doing their job that are getting squeezed out of their profession because their profession is becoming two professions or three professions, and they don't want to do what the other people are doing. They like doing what they did. So what I see happening a lot of time is developers and IT people getting pushed out of their jobs because they don't want to keep up, and they either become analysis type people, documentation type people, or project management type people. And all three of those jobs, you can make really good money if you're good at it. Project management is, to me, the job where if you get it, you have much more guaranteed growth in the future. Project managers are just going to become more valuable as time goes on. So if you want to learn a lot of the basics about project management, there's plenty of things out there you can look at. Six Sigma, all these other kinds of things about how to manage stuff better. But here is a good piece of software, I think, that you can use to help better manage projects or learn how to manage projects. I highly encourage people, if you want to look at shifting jobs, changing careers, and project manager is one of them, you need to understand how to handle projects in software, how to handle tasks, how to handle risk, how to handle deliverables, how to know about dependencies and everything like that. The software will do all of the work for you, but just like any other piece of software, you have to know what to click, you have to know what to type, you have to know what options to click to make the software sing. And to be honest, when I showed this to a quote-unquote real project manager at my job, and there's one project manager we have now who's a contractor, who every time he opens his mouth, every other project manager shuts their hole and listens. because they always learn something from this guy. He's really sharp. He's really anal. It's a nice way I can say about it. He's really anal, but he's really, really thorough. And when I showed him this software, he was shocked. He was shocked. He said how it looked, how it ran. He literally said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to install it. I want to play with it. I'm tired of paying the Microsoft tax. And like a week later, he said, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. He said, but I could use it. And everything I can do in here, I can learn how to handle projects better. So when he gave me the tip of the hat, I knew it was a good piece of software. So if you want to learn more about project management and software involving project management, rationalplan.com.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, it looks neat. And I did like the fact that you were talking about, you know, transitioning careers, because no matter what you're doing, you know, the skills that you learn in every area of life, if you're really learning the lessons and taking, you know, care of what you're sort of building your skill set, you should be able to take those anywhere else and apply them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. Skills translate into other jobs. Talents translate into other jobs. Software, unfortunately, mm-hmm. is completely different right. in each job. So you're always going to have to learn it.
I can't schmooze the terminal.
Not yet, at least. If Microsoft or Facebook has their way with their bots, you might be able to, but they might call you racist Nazi terms. So let's not go there.
They might tell me I need to lose some weight.
They would tell me that. Okay, last link of this show. This, to me, is hot. This, to me, is perfectly representing the type of forms and function you can have on a website, at the same time conveying the depth and breadth, and I'm really sorry to sound like a salesman, but the depth and the breadth of DevOps tools. DevOps is still unknown by a large section of even IT. DevOps is the ability to put in place, most of the time, partially homegrown to completely homegrown solutions that help automate or semi-automate infrastructure digital movement. Whether it's code being moved from point to point, whether it's environments being moved from point to point, whether it's applications being pushed up into dev or pushed up into QA or pushed up into production, whether it's just configuration management being pushed and shuffled and tested and optimized and pushed. DevOps is the future of infrastructure IT support, period. And if you look at this, you'll figure out most of it's on Linux. If you go to xebialabs.com, they have a periodic table of dev tools. It looks like resources, periodic table of DevOps tools. And I encourage people to literally go there and just highlight, hover, click, look, read, learn. If you want to sound like you know what you're talking about, 3 months from now when someone mentions a tool, 6 months from now when someone mentions ability, or in a year from now when someone mentions a technology, go to this page, click around and look. And this is not time sensitive, because I mean, if you look at the orange column, the second from the bottom one is DB2. DB2 is essentially 40-year-old IBM mainframe technology. So not everything involved with this DevOps tool chain is things like Docker brand new. You have to also have the hooks into other infrastructure, even if it's really old applications, databases, or infrastructures. I found this fascinating, is what I will say. Completely and utterly fascinating.
Yeah, I'm looking at this just thinking it would be a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they even have so it, they even have Excel listed in here. And here's the example I'm going to use, okay? It is very possible to have a spreadsheet sitting on a share where you send an email and you say, Bob, everything's ready to go. I just need you to give the go-ahead. And he knows that means go into my share folder, open up this Excel document, change a 0 to a 1, a no to a yes, type in the word complete in a given field, and that can be the first trigger in a long series of events that's going to make a change on their network, in their environment, in their domain, cross domains, in their forces, or whatever. Any piece of software that you can think of can be part of this tool chain. It's just a question of building the blocks. Think of every application, think of every event, think of every trigger that can happen as a Lego block, And just how are you going to paste them together? How are you going to get them to interact together? That's DevOps.
Man.
I know.
A little too, it's just, yeah. It's deep. I like the fact that you can get different solutions to sort of customize the workflow. But man, this is, you see, this is why I don't play open world video games. Mm. I was talking to someone about this the other day and said, what do you think about this game? I said, I'm sure it's very good, but I'll never play it. And they're like, what are you talking about? Why? I said, because I know the possibilities are infinite, and I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't just go wander through this huge world because I'm gonna need to catalog everything. I'm gonna need to know where everything is. I'm gonna need to know after I'm done that I'm done,
right.
That I was 100% done, and knowing that that would take the rest of my natural life and many millennia beyond that. I'm not even going to start it.
Well, can I ask you about that game? You're talking about the planet, the universe game, right?
No Man's Sky.
Is that what it's called? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I got into an argument with a guy today, and he was just talking about how much he loves it. And I go, okay, cool. Now tell me what you do in the game. He's like, well, what do you mean? He started like explain what all the trailers have shown. I said, yeah. You're in your ship. You go to different planets that are procedurally generated with creatures and environments, and that's all cool. But what do you do in the game? Well, you go around and you shoot stuff and you see things. I was like, so it's like an interactive zoo then with a spaceship, except you're going to different planets to see all this different stuff. And he's like, well, it's more than that. And I said, but we don't know what's more than that because none of the trailers have shown us more than that. And the fact that, and I like the technology. I like the fact of what it does, but I don't care from a personal player perspective. That's not something I want
to
do.
Well, to me, it isn't really a game. It's more of a activity.
No, it's definitely like a voyeur type of experience, and it amazes some people. I was kind of amazed by it when I first started seeing trailers for it, and then after a while, I was just like, but it's like you're stepping into the world, you're interacting with it, but there's no story.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. This is the game, quote unquote. I'm just using their vernacular. Sorry. This is the game. You and me could clone ourselves a million times each, and each one of us could sit in front of that game, and each one of us could spawn in a random spot in this quote unquote universe, and each of us could spend the rest of our natural lives playing the game, and we could probably never even begin to come close to cross paths or experience the same planet twice.
Right.
See, that to me is almost insanity. That is not a game anymore. It's literally digital exploration because
it's power math of the simulator.
Right. Do you know who would like this?
With a spaceship. Who?
The Australian guy who liked to tackle animals. Steve Irwin. What? Steve Irwin would love this game.
I don't know if he liked to tackle.
Well, I have a video of him tackling a emu on Reddit. It's a popular
game. Oh, dude. If I ever see an emu, and I have at least a little bit of beer in me, I'm going to tackle it.
Right.
That is, I mean, just think about the shape of an emu. That thing needs to be tackled. I don't know. Maybe that's just the violence coming out in me.
I don't know.
Anyway, I'm done talking about that game. If you can even call it a game, it's a game. I respect what they've done. It's just not for me. Like there are certain dramas out there. Every so, you gotta see it. It's so amazing. It changed your life. No, never going to watch that. No, thank you. Okay, this is going to... Okay, sorry, guys. 30-second tangent here, bro. I promise. I have never seen...
Transformers.
The third Lord...
Ghostbusters.
No. The third Lord of the Rings movie.
Oh, Lord of the Rings number 3.
Yeah, whatever. It's something king. See, I don't even remember
the subtitle. Land of the King, Lord of the King.
No, it's like...
Nerd of the King.
Whatever. I haven't seen it, and I never will. Because that franchise got so much hype. To the point where I was going to go see it with my friends one night, but it was on launch, or it was in the first week or so of coming out in theater, and it's like almost 3.5 hours long. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to pass. And they're like, no, you got to go. I was like, no, I don't. I can sit at home and do whatever I want. It's just the older I get, the more selective I am with my free time.
That's honestly how I felt about Batman and Superman.
That's what it boils down to.
Batman and Superman is almost 3 hours long. I said, no, I don't. I already know Batman's origin. I don't need to see it for the 16th time in a movie.
I will go see it if I can get confirmation of something that is supposed to happen during the fight. Have you seen it?
What do you want to know?
Tell me, have you seen the, and I don't care how you've seen it, have you
wait,
seen
what? What do you want to know?
Does he? Because in the Dark Knight comic book, the Dark Knight Returns, he blocks Superman's hit.
They show that in a commercial.
And well, no. Like I know they show that in a commercial, but as he's pummeling Superman, it's like, I want you, you know, punch to know punch that this was done to you, punch by a man, punch.
No, I don't know. No. I don't know that.
See, if that's not in the movie, yeah, because it, we could talk about this for another hour, and it, honestly, it's just not worth my blood pressure rising.
Well, don't.
What I will say, though, is that I am really, really energized about Linux and open source software, mainly because of a new laptop purchase I made. I bought a refurbished Lenovo T430S, and for those of you who are screaming hatred right now, saying, but Cody, you said you'd never buy a Lenovo product because of that awful software they put on their newer laptops last year. How dare you go against? No, I'll do what I want. It's my money. It's my purchase.
Well,
go ahead. Sorry.
America is the land of hypocrisy. You're just living up to that expectation.
There. I'll actually show you. I've done some pretty neat stuff with this. It's the same laptop that Martin has actually. But the optical bay can come out. You can nice. Add extra hard drive bays or an extra battery. Right. I got some new flash drives. It was really cool stuff. So I'm loving it. Really, 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 really back in, just hardcore, and I'm glad to be recording on a more frequent basis with you. And I hope that the listeners are enjoying the content. Trust me, there's a lot more to come because Dora and I are just we've already started, but we're nowhere near done.
Right, and Ubuntu 16.04 is going to be coming out here shortly. When we're recording 21st. This, it's like less than 2 weeks away.
Today's the 12th. Yeah, so 9 days away. Okay. It will be officially released when we're at Northwest Linux Fest. So I just put 14.04 on this machine, 6 days ago when I got it. So I'll probably just install 16.04 while I'm out there just to kind of tinker and play a bit.
Right.
I think that would be fun.
Well, and that's what I encourage people to do in a VM. Load it, play with it, see what you like. There's a whole bunch of different versions to it, sorry. And then there is, I'm going to try to find this for the next show, one install media. That you start the boot sequence and then it asks you which one do you want to install. You can select KDE, Ubuntu, LXDE, Ubuntu, or Lubuntu, Kubuntu, or one of them, and you don't have to download separate media for each one. I am personally going to try to hold off at least a month to install it, and it's not because I'm worrying about it being stable. If you want stable, literally, just wait a week. This isn't Windows. You don't have to wait for the first service pack, okay?
I'm going to wait till they get kicked out.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to wait. I'm gonna wait for it to go on sale.
Right. All you have to do is wait about a week, install it, and it's going to be very stable. And if you crave and if you like stability in your Linux, Ubuntu is hard to beat, period. But I'm going to hold off at least a month. I want the Bungie version of Ubuntu 16.04 to become a reality, and that's the one I want to try to install and use full-time because Ikey Doherty is the man. If anybody I ever meet face-to-face speaks ill of Ikey, do not get in my presence.
But wouldn't they already be in your presence?
They better get the hell away because he is a really good guy, really nice guy, unbelievably smart. This is the kind of guy he's one of a million, okay? We have 7 billion people on the planet. He's one of a million in the sense of he is the kind of smart guy that we as communities need to support. We as communities need to make sure that we don't lose him. We as communities need to make sure that he knows that the things he's doing are A, impressive, B, cool, and C, hopefully making him a good living. He has a job at Intel. He makes no bones about it. He's working on their Clear Linux, which is their version of Linux. And because he's working on it, that tells me, guess what? That's going to be a kick-ass version of Linux whenever it comes to full production. It's going to be
somebody on that project that we can trust.
Yes. So I'm going to try to hold out, wait for Bungie.
Budgie.
Thank you. Version of the desktop to come out, and then I'm going to install it. Sooner or later, I'm going to get to a conference where Ikey is at because I cannot wait to literally buy him a beer, shake his hand, and just ask him, what can podcasting communities like the one that I'm a part of, and I consider myself to be a part of this, what can we do to better support you and people like you?
If you really want to hear him answer a version of that question, go back I don't remember what episode it was, but when Martin and I met him, gosh, that was almost a couple years ago. It's probably over 2 years ago now. He was in Portland, or in Hillsboro, rather, doing some work there in the episode. But we went out, hung out with him, had dinner, and then went back into his hotel room and conducted an interview. We created a show specifically for it. But yeah, great, great guy. Very, very humble, very smart, very articulate. Loved hearing where he was going with his project back then, but to see what it's blossomed into now. And if I remember correctly, I read at least this once, one place, if not a couple places, but in 1610, there would be an official Budgie version of Ubuntu.
I'm going to wait, and I don't want a short-term version, damn it. Okay, what I'm going to probably have to do is probably install the Lubuntu version and then install his desktop on that, probably.
Well, listen, I'll bring an extra hard drive on my machine. We'll install it while we're at Northwest Linux Fest. We'll play around with it a little bit, and we'll talk about it on a future show. Sound good?
Sure.
Let's just do that. I think that would be really great, because I haven't spent any time inside that environment. I've only looked at screenshots and watched some videos. So yeah, I'd love you to try.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, lots of good stuff. We're over an hour.
I don't know. It's all a blur.
Yeah, sweet. It is all. It's a damn blur. Well, here's the thing, guys and kids. You know who we are. Hit us up. Hit us up. Thank you very much for that wonderful email, William. Keep sending the emails. It's just podcast@linksforlexicus.com. Send us any voicemails you'd like, 7076-POD-NUT. That is 707-676-3688. Try to keep it under, we'll say 2 minutes. And we'll play them on the show. Love to hear more from the guys in the community. Hear what you guys are thinking about some of the recent episodes. And, boy, we got to get ready for that episode 200 bash, don't we, Dor?
I'm ready.
Yeah. If you didn't hear that, that was Dor buckling in to the seatbelt in his chair, because he's buckling.
I'm there. So,
he's there. All right, everybody. Hey, thank you very much for listening. Have fun out there. If you can make it up to Bellingham, Washington, man, come on out. I'll let any one of you buy me alcohol and or food. What about you, Dor?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Cool. Awesome. Thank you very much again for listening, everyone. And please, that Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Good night.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.